Welcome to Mediocre Movies, where we watch movies between 35 and 65% on Rotten Tomatoes to find the most mediocre movie of all time.
The Michael Cera of mediocre movies.
The Gary Busey.
Yeah, the Gary Busey of...
Busey,
yeah.
This week, it's me, Riley.
It's Brad.
And we have someone new.
Luke.
Alrighty.
Just for a bit of context, we met Luke...
Wrestling. We don't wrestle. Luke wrestles.
Yeah. That's why we brought him in for this particular.
It's going to make sense. This is. We've done this contextually wrong. We watched Nacho Libre.
Yeah.
2006 movie. Rotten Tomatoes score of 40%. And it's about wrestling. Or Mexican wrestling.
Yeah. Luchador wrestling.
Luchador. Yeah. Hence.
That's the technical name.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where we just call it Mexican wrestling.
Yeah. Very insensitive.
So we. It is. Yeah. But that's all right.
That's okay. We're not the sensitive types.
No, we're not. And our four listeners are either going to choose out right now and give us none.
Hopefully they're not luchador wrestlers.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Oh man, we would have made a huge mistake.
Not bringing them on.
Yes, true.
Because this is more specific to them.
Yeah.
But specific enough for Luke as a wrestler.
Yeah. Mm. Plus we just like Luke.
Yeah.
So.
You're like the two real fans I have. Friends. Friends.
Friends.
Even.
No fans. Fans, right?
Fans and all.
All right, so it's directed by Jared Hess, who did Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
Music was by Danny Elfman, and the most famous person in the movie is, by and large, Jack Black.
Yes.
Which seems like a little bit of whitewashing, but they do explain it away in the movie.
Yeah.
Does anybody... We'll get into that. Oh, quickly, another famous person in it. Danny Elfman did the music.
Yeah.
So... That's all the famous people in the movie, well and out. I think the guy who was meant to be the guy in the boat when they go get the eagle egg, apparently he's a famous guy. He was in Fargo.
Yeah, he's always the support role in everything he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't write his name down, but he's Swedish.
Prison Break, Until Dawn.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's done a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
But that's everyone famous out of the movie. Does anyone have anything they would like to say, opening statements?
I'm just really glad the whole thing didn't end on a fart joke.
Yes.
That is my one big plus for the movie.
Mm. There was like two and I was like, this is kind of inappropriate.
There was a few,
There's a bit where he sneaks up on the street beggar.
Yeah.
And before he jumps, he farts.
Yeah.
Then when he jumps off the cliff.
It's a fart.
He farts again and then.
It's like, why though? Why? Yeah. Why is that there?
We're watching it and then Luke's like, I swear to God, if he farts in the final fight. But he didn't at all.
No.
And I was very happy.
Just to clarify, well, he, this isn't a race thing, but like he probably eats a lot of beans.
Mm. Yes.
Like that, whatever gruel he's making at the start of the movie.
Which was gruel. And the worst meal a priest had ever eaten in his entire life.
Yeah. Which made me laugh. I like that bit. That was a good scene.
Really cruel.
Especially when, like, we'll get into this, but especially, like, when those priests, like, the other priests aren't aren't giving him money to buy fresh ingredients.
No.
I'm like, well, what do you expect?
Yeah, like
get
on,
off his back.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
There he was. He's like, I made this. And it's like, it's bad. It's like, I want more money for ingredients. And they're like, no.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, enjoy eating shit food then, because
this is how it works. This is what it does. I thought the opening was really nice when he was young and he like rips all the stuff.
Yeah. Which is a running thing through the whole movie, that sort of yanking.
The David Copperfield?
Yeah, like the pulling
the tablecloth kind of thing out, but he's not very good at it.
No. It's always like one thing gets knocked over and then that's the whole thing.
I kept a tally of, like, you know how Jack Black just plays Jack Black?
Yeah.
How many times he just played Jack Black in this movie?
Yeah.
And I believe I got to 17 times and he did very Jack Black-esque.
Just for the listening audience at home, what qualifies as Jack Black-esque? Because I know what you're
like
talking
about. Like the face where he... I can't do it because this is an audio production, but like where he scrunches up his face weirdly when someone says something.
Yeah, like the no face.
And he sung twice in this movie.
Yeah.
And both of those times I marked for a Jack Black-like thing to inappropriately sing within your own movie.
Yeah.
And that Grinch-like grin he does where his eyebrows go up and he's like, just top lip goes up and he smiles. That's Jack Black.
Yeah, very Jack Black. Yeah. Getting himself into awkward, inappropriate situations and then he doesn't handle it very good.
Yeah.
So there was a few of those and like other things where you just kind of like, meh. He didn't act.
Yeah.
He just kind of came on set and then walked away.
Yeah.
Phoned it in.
I mean, you know, but this is coming, this is obviously coming off the back of Napoleon Dynamite.
Well, Jared, yeah, Jared Hester just finished.
So, I mean...
Oh, not just finished, but like...
But, like, it was, yeah, like...
Very still, very popular, very much in people's minds, and...
Still never finished it.
Don't worry. It's, you either love it or you hate it. See, I'm in the... I really enjoy it.
I'm not a massive fan. I'm like, I can see the charm in it, but I'm like, yeah.
It's not for you. The person who wrote School of Rock wrote this movie as well.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, Mike White. He was, I like School of Rock. I much prefer School of Rock to this movie. If I'm going to pick a Jack Black movie,
yeah,
I would go for School of Rock every time.
Yeah.
But still, that said, actually, I don't know how I feel about this movie. I'll probably, when I nut this whole thing out, I'll be like, yep, I very much understand when I go through all my thoughts. Me and you both had the same kind of thing.
It's very Wes Anderson-y.
It's very Wes Anderson. I don't know. Luke, do you know much about Wes Anderson?
Know the name, not too into it.
Okay.
So it's very kind of a lot of shots with symmetry.
Yeah. Which again, you've watched Napoleon Dynamite, same sort of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think it's just his sort of.
Then you had the kind of 90 degree snaps.
Yeah, yeah.
A few times, and it just felt had that whole kind of vibe about it,
yeah.
Especially with the colors as well, kind of coming down. You had a lot of like, not it was like colors that were meant to be muted, but they kind of popped.
Yeah.
During the, I don't know how the film was made. It was kind of one of those interesting things that I noted a few times in my notes, actually. I think one of the highlights of this movie was the song, I Am, I Am.
Yeah.
Which, I am a religious man.
Yeah.
And they kind
of... Which is kind of the core of the film, really. It's yes. Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're 6 minutes in and we haven't explained what this movie's about. So we'll, quickly dive into that. Luke, what did you think this movie was about?
Pretty much just like Jack Black being a wrestler,
mm-hmm.
and not just a wrestler, but you know, a Mexican luchador and the struggle he has between religion and pursuing his passion of wrestling.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Like in the scene where he's talking to the nun, like the mm-hmm. sister.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know, wrestling is gorgeous. And like, I'm like, wow.
I didn't know
that was the church's stance on wrestling, but
there it was.
Know, turns out I have to go to confession next week and
whoops, I had a match.
Yes. Yeah, the whole thing is Jack Black plays a monk.
Yeah.
And then but he loves wrestling.
Yeah.
So he secretly wrestles.
Yeah, from when he was a young boy.
He loved wrestling. And then he got old enough and he was like, I'm gonna just wrestle, because he meets a poor person and then
They have a tussle,
and he's like, hey, we should make a whole bunch of money.
Yeah.
And they secretly wrestle, which was a weird kind of leap now that I think about it.
It's kind of, yeah.
It kind of builds up to it, because you do see him, like, want to go...
Hey, you beat me up. Let's be friends.
Let's be tag team.
Yeah.
Which was an interesting way for that to work. Yeah, I don't think anything else is missing in the plot. It's like a love interest thing that happens, but
yeah.
It's very kind of muted.
Yeah.
And,
well, Nickelodeon, so
yeah.
It's very kid-based.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. It's just like, I like this girl, and I've talked to her a few times to have toast in my private quarters. Which
I laughed at. I'd see where he's like shoving the toast under the door. I had a genuine laugh at that. I was like, that's a funny scene. That got to, it spoke to me on a weird level.
You were like, this is weird, it's stupid.
Yeah.
You see, yeah, it did have that like Napoleon Dynamite-esque kind of humour.
Yeah.
Where I was like, I'll either really like this joke, or yeah. I will not like this joke.
It felt like, overall... Yeah, I think that's we've summarized the movie pretty well. He's mm-hmm. a monk, he wants to be a wrestler because the other monks treat him like shit.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I think this film is kind of stuck in, like, a weird between
mm-hmm.
where, like, Napoleon Dynamite, like, as a first film sort of plays mm-hmm. it, like, not straight, but it plays it kind of more earnestly.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this kind of tiptoes into... more cartoony mm-hmm, sort of mm-hmm. thing, which it kind of works, but it's like it'd be interesting to see if like they sort of committed fully to like this idea
one way or the other. Well, this story is based on a real life incident.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, there was a monk who a priest who wrestled
yeah
to raise money for his orphanage for like 26 years and
yeah.
It was kind of insane, and he kind of hit it because it's like, I can't be a pious man if I wrestle.
Yeah.
And then he kind of came out, and everyone was like, hey, that's not bad because you made a lot of money. So it was good.
Fair enough.
And it's very, very loosely based on that.
Yeah.
There are texts that are much strongly focused
yeah.
on that idea.
Yeah.
I put the bike was cool. I'm just going to read my notes chronologically as I go.
I like the bike. That was like, I'm like, that's a weird thing to have in this movie, but like with like the little seat and stuff on it. But I'm like, hey, that's pretty cool.
Mm. How did you both feel about the slapstick humor?
It was very hit and miss. Like, there were some points in the film where I found myself laughing uncontrollably, but other times just kind of cringing.
Yep. Yeah, there was a few. Brad, did you have that experience?
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of an example.
Where they kind of... Well, like the tussle in the alley.
Yeah, nacho chips. Yeah, I mean, like, you kind of see how it was the first time, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of... Weird, and it just kind of came out of nowhere, and then yeah, and for that to kind of be like not really the inciting incident, but for that to kind of be like the thing that puts him into this thing is kind of a weird, you know,
it's a weird jump.
Yeah, it's very weird. Like that whole sequence in the movie feels really not disjointed, but like you're kind of expecting like him to come to a realization, like through that.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, like a good way to look at it is when they do the training session and he throws the beehive at him.
Right, yeah.
And he kind of almost just follows him.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy that?
I did, but I did think it was like out of place, and it's like that seems weird things to do to be
training.
Well, I can definitely say we don't throw, you know, hornet's nests at each other to train.
Getting bull's rings with capes on.
No, that we do. That we do. Yeah.
That you do?
That's very, very authentic.
That's first time you go in the ring, you gotta go.
Yeah, you gotta charge a bull.
Yeah.
Not have the bull charge you. No. You have to charge the bull.
Yeah.
If you don't do that, you can't.
You gotta assert dominance from the get-go. I did like the scene where he leaves and he's like, I'm going, and the kid's crying as he leaves, and I was like, that was odd.
That was beautiful.
I was a bit taken back by that. And the other, I feel like there was a second antagonist, which was the other monk.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know why he was a dick, but he just was a dick.
Yeah.
Do you feel that?
Yeah, he was kind of just there.
Mm.
Like, he wasn't the big bad, but he was just like, at the beginning, before wrestling became the priority, he was the big bad. And then
because he's like, hey, go and deal with the dead guy
who was asleep,
which I thought was a funny scene. Like, I could see it from miles away,
but like signposted that.
Yeah,
I think that's what I noticed when I watched it the first time with you. Was I was sitting there, it's like, yeah, he's alive, and then when he comes up and he's alive, I still had managed to laugh about it.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
probably just because of Jack Black's reaction, because
Black, where he just gets on the bike and he just speeds away.
Yeah,
and I was like, he's not very good at this, and that's a Jack Black-esque moment.
Yeah,
where he just does his job half-assed. So anything before we get into the wrestling portion of the movie?
Well, that'll be a really short part, because it was barely any actual wrestling.
That's true.
Mm.
The first wrestling match they have, where they first, the two guys in, like, black leotards.
Yeah.
Anything to say about that? I thought it was weird that he wore a balaclava, but...
Yeah, but he's protecting his identity.
Yeah, that's the luchador, right?
Also, nobody knows who he was, and the other guy didn't protect his identity.
Yeah, because he was a street urchin.
That's fair.
No, I got that. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. He's like protect, because when like the dude comes in and he like pulls the mask over when he's in the bathroom, which was kind of a funny gag as well.
Because he'd already seen him.
Yeah,
and it was like, no one cares. Yeah. You're fighting on the street.
Yeah,
which goes to later when he's like out in the nature and then all the people see him without the mask, but the mask was to hide his identity from the people.
Yes, which was stupid, because like, how did you find me? It's like, I saw you from the village. I was like, classic.
I found myself watching the wrestling parts of the movie and thinking some of it was done really well, but that was just really cringeworthy, the rest of it. I wish they used more wrestling scenes, because I was walking into the movie thinking it was going to be more about wrestling.
Yeah.
Well, so did I, having had seen it before. I was like, yeah, it's a movie about wrestling. It is very wrestling based. And then on the back cover of the DVD, or the like little photos they show of like scenes in the movie, it's all wrestling. Yeah. And I'm like, must be wrestling heavy. Not that wrestling heavy at all.
Yeah, you sort of felt like you got sold a sort of false bill of goods, almost. Like, even Rocky, like...
There's only one fight in Rocky.
There's, like, one fight in Rocky, but the whole movie is kind of...
The building up to a fight.
Yeah.
And the training.
But, like, this kind of... Because it kind of just goes in different, like, tangents and, like...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which is obviously, like, the style. It's, like, it never feels like it's building to, like, a culmination. It's kind mm-hmm. of just, like...
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, that could... Some people might like that. I don't think I did, because there was a lot of sequences where, like, nothing was of consequence.
Yeah.
At the end, like, when they climbed the whole mountain and get the eagle egg, yeah. and then it didn't do anything. I was like, but why? Why did we kind of need that?
I think that's just that dude's style. Like, what's the director's name again?
Jared Hess.
I think that's just his style. It's like Napoleon Dynamite, same thing. Nothing ever really amounts to anything. It's just kind of moments.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it does, but it, in a...
Well, really... that kind of climbing the thing didn't really do anything for anyone in the end. And I was like, I don't know if I would have included that. You could have included, like, a fight or... Because at no point when they're training did they actually train.
No.
At all.
Yeah.
And like...
I get. It's meant to be like an off-kilter sort of weird sort of playing around with like Mexican tropes
mm-hmm.
sort of movie. So you...
Well, they're kind of like, we got to get better. And then they never do anything themselves to get better. They're just like, we need to get better now. And it's like, well, you could start doing push-ups and also look for like magic. But instead they don't. And they just kind of sit around. So I didn't think the training in it, I don't think that made any sense, to be completely honest. And also they went pro after like
like they went in the first match and then they
lost,
but they got the money, so they're like, hey,
yeah, because they lost and they got paid, people liked them, so they got paid,
welcome back. And so it's like
they were like, yeah, we're in it now for the money. And then they wrestled the demon children,
the two little like
who turned out to be pro wrestlers. Even though they were fighting in the amateur league. And then they get beat again. And they get paid. And they keep getting beaten, but paid, until...
The fatal five-way, where it's like every man for himself.
Yes.
And the giant super dragon wins.
Silencer, whose secret...
signature is throwing people.
And I was like, good. And also the secret move for the skeleton, like the street edger guy, was standing kick. And I was like, good, he's really developed to it. I thought the forced baptism scene was very weird.
Yeah. Oh god.
I was like, there's a lot of different things happening in this movie, and one of the heavy themes is religion and science. Without putting any perspective into science whatsoever.
Yeah, it's just like when the dude's like, I believe in science. And it's like,
but he also believes in magic.
Yeah, and then he's like, we should drink the eagle eggs. It is magic. And it's like, that really kind of went against your principles of what you were saying earlier. So I thought that was weird. And they force baptize him. Jack Black force baptizes his tag team partner. Which seems like a large violation of trust.
Or also, like, religious sanctity.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
But, whatever. But it's you, like, you seem to think that it's, like, a movie about that dynamic, like, religion versus science.
I think so. I think it's heavily about that.
Which is weird, because it's...
A luchador wrestling movie. Yeah, there's not a theme I would have put in, or if I was going to, it would just be religion versus, like, outsiders.
Yeah.
Would be the theme, instead of specifically... One science man. How did you feel about the entire party scene? Because I think I enjoyed it. And I think it was very, like, it looked very nice. It was very well shot.
I think, like, just broadly speaking, the whole movie is pretty well shot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's nice to look at.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Party scene?
I liked the party scene mostly, but there was just one scene when the, lady was going through the little holes, and she chases down the skinny tag team partner, and she's trying to drag him back in there, and I was like, that's really dark humor.
Yeah, it was weird that there was like fat jokes and then sexual assault jokes all in one scene.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy when they got into the party. It's like, hey, boost me up over the wall. And then he boosts him, and then he's like, now lift me. He's like, I cannot pick you up. And he just, like, slides away. And I was like,
good luck. Then he gets him in the band and starts singing. I love any time Jack Black's in the movie and he has to awkwardly sing.
Yeah, see, I don't. I'm very much on the opposite of that. I'm like, man, we could have done without this whole scene. He could have just snuck in with the band and then not brought the cello with him. put the cello down and then just join the party.
But then the band member like turns to him and they're like, oh, you need to sing. And he could have just been like, wait, you're not part of this band. But he's like, go on with it.
Yeah, that was weird. And he just sneaks in with a band and the band's like, yeah, you're one of us. I remember you from inside the car 30 seconds ago. Like,
bands have short-term memories.
I think that's the moral of this whole movie, is that bands are very trustworthy. You can just join a band at any point and they won't question you. They made the point that going pro is political, and I don't know how true that is. This wrestling scene in Australia, I don't think has enough for Luke to really chime in.
The political side of it's a very touchy subject.
Very touchy?
Yes,
I feel like touchy. I feel like in this country, we're in Australia for anyone who listens overseas, in which case, thank you, but also, how did you find us? Please, I don't know, tweet to somebody. Not us, just tweet to anybody.
Yeah, hashtag notice us.
Yes. Alright, I'll take that hashtag. That's good. Especially, I think, in like this movie, it kind of is like, if you want to go pro, you've got to be in with the other pro wrestlers. Which, now that I think about it, those demon children were wrestling amateur league.
Yeah.
But they hung out with Ramsey's, the bad guy, the whole time. So, maybe it wasn't true, because maybe Ramsey just didn't like them. Also, they were terrifying because their mouths were always moving. And I did not enjoy that. And then we found out that Ramsey's, or Emperor, or whatever he was called, was a huge jerk.
Mm.
Which is the good guy in wrestling, is the bad guy in real life. And Jack Black, I guess he was also the good guy.
Like when he opens the door and
He just hits the woman. And I was like, oh. And no one cared. And I was like, huh. I thought that was very interesting. So the person who played the Emperor, or Ramses, is an actual luchador wrestler.
Okay.
Yeah, right, so he was a real luchador wrestler.
Was or still?
I think he still is.
Yeah.
Cool. El Silencio was a wrestler. The Snowflake guy, which was in the black guy in the, like, eight-man match.
Yeah.
Who did all the dance moves. He was like Eddie from Street Fighter, where he just kept busting moves. And he, like, punched a guy. I was like, that's the guy. This is the guy I love. He was also a wrestler. The scene, I really liked inside the party, the uses of like brown and pink.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's meant to symbolize at all. I didn't really understand it, but like when the lady was in pink and Ramses was in pink, and like the room where the skinny guy goes to hide was also in pink with the lady, and like it was all kind of like that nice, not muted pink, but like a light kind of pink, and the browns of like 80s furniture, I guess. I thought that was a really nice like kind of aesthetic.
I think there's something like about this movie that's kind of weird plus nice, is like you can't really date it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't really be like, oh, this is meant to be like the 60s, or this is meant to be like the thing. It's like very nondescript in terms
of... I couldn't think at any point when it was meant to be. Like after like kind of when you can make a bike into a motorcycle, so...
Yeah. But you assume it's in like a weird sort of late 50s sort of
60s. Yeah, you kind of pick that, and then the car's like really nice, and you're like, I'm not sure.
Yeah. It's one of those like bubbles where it could be in any whenever set time. Yeah.
Now, after the party is a scene that I know you very much enjoyed, where they're outside and their bike's tires have been popped.
Oh.
Do you know who did that? What that scene escalated from? Because I can't recall why.
Maybe it was just one of those sort of
people just harassing.
Yeah, people just being shitty to them because they're losers.
I thought they were just like, you know, like thugs of the big bad guy.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, I didn't consider that. Now, what happened here? Would you like to explain?
Oh, Jesus. He threw a corn cob through a dude's eye.
Yeah.
And it was so out of the blue.
Yeah, because the other guy, like, they get confronted by these two thugs. And then the thug has a knife. Yeah. And he has, this El Skeleton guy has a corn cob. And then he doesn't move, but you just hear, like, a whoosh sound. And then one of the bad guys has, like, the whole cob of corn sticking out of his eye socket. Not like by the pointy end of the stick that you would hold it by, no, but the other way. Yeah. Which was insane.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't understand this scene. at all. And then they kind of just cut to the next scene.
Which was absolutely amazing.
Yeah. I wouldn't say went against the tone. I just kind of just questioned it. I was like, I'm not sure
how realistic this is. A weird moment of like odd violence, like bodily violence. And it's like, yeah, that's odd.
For a Nickelodeon movie.
It did not belong in the movie whatsoever, but it was there. So it's kind of the point that stands out in the movie for me. Is because like you've got this kids movie, all these like humorous moments. Until you get to a moment where a guy has a coin in his eye.
Out of his eye. And then he's just like, and then it just cuts from it. It's just like, all right, end of that scene. Mm. Clearly no one's going to mess with them anymore. Now, following that scene, you have some of the greatest dialogue in the movie from El Skeleton, which is, I hate orphans. I hate all the orphans. I hate every single orphan I see. And then Jack Black goes, we never win because you're bad. And he goes, we never win because you are fat. I was like, this man brings the truth bombs this into the discussion.
I feel like they definitely went into one of the bad guys on a wrestling's roster, the diary, just to get those lines. It's like, these are goals.
I hate orphans.
I hate orphans. Which I thought was weird because he wasn't necessarily a bad or evil guy in the movie.
No,
he was just poor and like he just kind of did it for the money. And he was like, man, Jack Black is dead weight. And Jack Black wants to win. And Jack Black doesn't want to put in any work to win.
Hmm.
So why should I? And then he's like, we never win because you're bad at wrestling and not strong. And he's like, that's not true. You're just fat. And I was like, whoa. And then he runs away, which was very weird.
Which is, a weird comedy beat.
Yeah, it's a weird comedy beat that happens in a few movies.
You just have like the character sort of run off.
And then you get to the kitchen scene, which I thought was a little bit preachy. It was kind of like, you're not fighting for the right reasons. You must fight with God and for God in your heart. Yeah. Which I don't know. That's when it kind of swapped. And I think that was when Jack Black's character grew, in inverted commas, where it was like, I've got to stop wrestling for my own fame and fortune.
Which is weird because you have this like setup that he's kind of like, he does the good food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is like,
yeah, he's already spent money to help the orphans.
Yeah, so it's like, he's as good as like a person can, when you're feeding orphans better food.
Yeah, which is the only thing he wanted money for.
Yeah, so like, it's kind of like, he doesn't really need...
He didn't need to be pushed to do it. He was already doing it.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, but you're wrestling for fame. It's like, you have to wrestle for anything. That's never really, he's also got a mask on, so how is he wrestling for fame? It's not like, people are like, oh, you're the famous guy under the mask. That's not how masks work. It's entirely opposite the point.
Yeah, because his entire like motivation for like his wrestling career is when he's there with the nun and he's like, oh yeah, I saw the dude and he saw the emperor dude and like they're throwing flowers in front of him and that sort of stuff. And it's like, that's kind of his entire...
That's what he kind of wanted.
But then like...
He never did it anyway. He was just like, no, I'm just going
to... It just goes counter to...
Everything else.
Yeah.
Which was weird. And then he lights himself on fire when he goes to pray and the candle falls over.
With everybody watching and not saying anything.
Yeah, that was weird.
Probably because everyone hated him, I would say.
Except the children didn't hate him.
The children loved him.
Yeah.
And no, the fat kid loved him.
The other kids tolerated him.
Yeah.
The nun appreciated him.
Yeah, the sister who he had a crush on.
Yeah.
It was very weird around.
Which is weird. Her, like, whole introduction, too, was, like, a weird sort of... Like, she's just here, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, she's kind of horseshoe-ed in. Yeah. Hey, here's the love interest, have it.
Also, the scene where he goes on a date with her, and he has the very tight pants on, and the turtleneck sweater.
Absolutely Jack Black.
The very deep V. And he punches the guy, and it's the wrong guy.
And then gets punched out.
And then just gets punched out because he was trying to... What was it? The skinny guy was like, I'll help you impress the lady by bringing along my friends for you to fight.
Which goes against priests and monks entirely. That whole...
Yeah, he very quickly ditches his piousness.
Which is like, why did he... I mean, probably... Because in the opening, he's like, oh yeah, I'm...
He was an orphan.
Yeah, he's an orphan.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm just going to stick here in the
Yeah, orphanage.
Yeah, the orphanage, and that's kind of my whole thing. But it's like, and he becomes a monk, but it's like, you know, why did he stay a monk? Why did he...
why not quit?
Yeah, it's like, all right, I'm 18. I don't know what, you know, obviously, in the time between when he was a chubby little boy...
Mm-hmm.
To a chubby
man. Chubby Jack Black man.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine that, like... you know, luchador fighting changed so much that he was like, I'll never achieve this to, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just weird. It kind of has, like, a lot of the characters really have weird motivation.
Yes. Now, did anybody remember when he went in the 5-man fight or the 8-man fight? Because I don't have this here.
That would have been...
Is it after he reveals himself to be a wrestler to the orphanage, or is it before? Because I can't recall, and I don't know if I think that's a
like when he enters it.
Okay, it's after, because like he does the whole "I'm going to go win for the orphans," rah rah rah, and then he loses, and then he's like, "Well, I'm out of everything," and then
yes,
he leaves.
Yes, so he does this, the fire robe, and the emotional scene where they're like, "You must leave," and he's like, "I'm going anyway. You can't fire me. I quit," and he storms out, and then he goes into the
nature.
Into the... No, doesn't he go to the 8-man fight from there?
Oh, yeah, he goes to the 8-man fight.
Goes to the 8-man fight, and I thought that was... How did you feel about that scene, actually? Because my opinion is not the professional one for this topic.
Yeah. It was one of the few scenes that I could actually stand down and enjoy, because it was very interesting wrestling. Like, I think I sat there and I was just like calling the moves that they were doing. I'm like, okay, they actually are wrestling right now. And this, I thought, was really good change, because it's like in previous matches it was just them just goofing around being weird. But in this match they actually started pulling out the moves, and I liked it. And the way that the way they set up El Silence, and it was just his signature move, tossing people. And I think I sat there and I was like, yeah, he really does just toss people.
Yeah,
this is amazing.
He never said anything, and he was just very tall.
He just picks him up.
And he just picked him up, and he threw him.
And he kind of had that expectation of, like, even though the whole movie was about him never winning until the end.
Yeah.
It was like, he's finally doing the right thing. He's doing it for God and the children. And
yeah.
Like, it was just that, the right thing. But then, you know, it's him and one of the big bads, and he's just like, oh, well, he's going to win.
Yeah.
And then the big bad just kicks his ass anyway. And I was like,
yeah,
that's good.
Because the skinny guy gets kicked out.
Pretty
and then
around.
Yeah, and he looks like he's gonna win, and then another win, and then another bad guy trips him over from outside the ring, and I was like, well, that guy's cheating.
Yeah,
but also he has nothing to gain by tripping Jack Black over, because if Jack Black wins, it means the second last guy would have to fight him again, which was stupid, which would have been him. So I thought that was, yeah, I liked that scene, because there was a few wrestlers I was like, I'd like to look more at. Like, El Snowflake, I was like, I would love to watch a whole movie on a man who dances in the ring as a wrestler in Mexico.
Well, have you heard of Jude London? Because he's an excellent
dancer.
What
a plug. What a plug.
Cheap plug.
Jude, if you are listening.
Come on, we'll find another wrestling movie. I'm sure there is a few.
Another wrestling movie that's... The
mediocre.
Yeah.
I can't imagine there'd be heaps of that.
No, I was like the
critically acclaimed.
I was like the wrestler. I'm like, that's got like 97%.
The wrestler, and I don't know any others off the top of my head. Any movies about wrestling?
Glow on Netflix.
That was TV one. Series.
Oh, but that got like 80.
Yeah, that's good.
We could do the Glowcast.
Yeah.
A podcast about
the Glowcast. I did like that the old guy in the checkered suit went to all of Jack Black's matches and just like. Quietly raised his fist in the air and like cheered, and then Jack Black got beaten and kind of was shamed back into silence.
I honestly thought that he was going to be revealed to be like Jack's long lost father. But they never did anything. I was like, oh, so he's just that one fan that you always see in the audience that's always there.
Yeah,
and he's always vocal, and to that guy, I love you.
He was a weird character to follow, because he watched Jack Black get in the ring in like the street fight and with the mask on, and he was like, yeah, I go for you, and I was like, why?
Yeah.
He had a shirt, like a very ill-fitting shirt, and the other guy was like still very dirty, and I was like,
which is probably one of my favorite scenes, like you're the two dudes in like the like leotards, and then it's like you got these two dudes come in, and he's got like the gut
hanging out of his like, and it was like not like tight not like sweatpants, but like almost half, like sweatpants half.
Because that's what he gets off the little kid, isn't it?
Yeah.
He goes to the...
like the stretch pants or whatever. And then the very bad fitting shirt. The other guy was just in what he was wearing in the previous scenes. And I was like, this is perfect. I love this.
That scene when like he puts the suit together.
Yeah.
For the first time. Mm-hmm. And the kid comes in.
Yeah,
and it's like when you're a grown up, when you're an adult,
you kind of put on stretchy pants
for fun.
I won't tell anyone.
Which is one of my favorite Jack Black tropes. Is in every movie he's in, it doesn't matter what he looks like; he's the sexiest man in the room in his mind.
Yeah, see, that's probably not a trope that I enjoy because I'm like, kind of killed the realism. But like, that's fine.
Going back to that scene with him on the date, and then he's just leaning on the wall, and then he just flexes his butt. It was like, there's part of me that just gets really, you know, excited. Like, that's funny as hell, but at the same time, I gag a little.
I'm just like, this is disgusting. And he just does, like, the very, very low, like kneel.
Low,
just puts one leg so far back, and then just lowers himself.
Dude is limber, I'll give him that.
And then the kid gives him a machete? Yeah. He loses the fight, he goes back to the orphanage, and then the kid packs all his stuff, and the kid's like, here, take this, it's from my father, who died.
Yeah, no, I think it was like the final ever gift from his mum.
Yeah.
And he gives it to Jack Black, it's like,
why?
What the hell?
What is Jack Black going to do with this? And I don't think he uses it once.
He cuts open the cactus and eats...
That's right, yeah, he swings open the cactus.
Isn't it like only one type of cactus is not poisonous?
There's one type of cactus that is not poisonous and the rest are poisonous. And that was not the cactus. So he realistically...
died.
Should have died in that scene.
So you're telling me the last like scene is just a fever dream of him? Oh,
possibly. As his like last synapse.
Makes sense.
Like Birdman.
Yeah. Is that what happened?
It depends. Lots of interpretation. But the last like 5 minutes is apparently just when he shoots himself.
Yeah.
And like the last like it's just a dream kind of thing. Hence why the camera stops doing the one shot. But it's not the Birdman podcast. This is Nacho Libre. So yeah, I didn't know how I felt about going into the wild bit. Because that happened with like 20 minutes or 15 minutes left in the movie. Yeah. And I felt like they...
Again, I think it's just part of that sort of tone that he has.
Where it like kind of just all sums up real quick.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is weird. And then he gets a... El Silencio takes the minor injury of being run over on the foot by, like, a bike cart, which I can't imagine weighs more than, like, 30 kilos. Because it seemed like it had, like, a whippersnipper engine.
With Skeletor on it, so it's another 10 kilos.
Yeah, it was... not very hairy. He just runs over his foot in the big, like, hard leather boot he was wearing. And he's like, he's out of the match. And it's like, there's no way he's out of the match. There's no way that broke his foot. That it was a bike at best. And then El Skeleto had the emotional growth of not hating orphans. And I was like, well, it's good to see he's changed a bit.
I don't know. I feel like this is the thing with like a lot of indie movies, just going back to like when he goes into the wild wilderness. And it's like, and this movie doesn't really stick to like a clear cut. Like it's linear, but it's not like conventional. You know what I mean? And so like having something like that, like close to the end of the movie, is just one of those things that
these movies
kind of have. Yeah. I don't know.
It's then, like they're just trying to tick it off the list. It's like, oh, we gotta have this. Just get it through.
Not necessarily. It's just like, all right, what sort of weird tangent can we kind of go on?
Yeah. Yeah, I felt that. It was kind of... although I did have the good joke of like, how did you find me out in the wilderness? And it's like, we saw from town. And the camera kind of like pans. Hey. And there's people just standing on a roof just waving at him. And it's like, fair enough. He didn't actually go anywhere. And then the skeleton guy did the weird thing where he delivered the letter and then he ran away like Naruto, which I was like,
Yeah.
Seems either that's ahead of its time, that running away scene, or it was just very, very odd.
Yeah.
But he delivers the letter to sister whatever.
Yeah.
And then she reads the letter and it's like, he's like, I have run away and I am wrestling now. I'm going to be in the big fight against Ramses. And then he sings again when he's in the bathroom and they're getting ready. And again, I went, ugh, because I was like, ugh, I just don't. He doesn't need to sing twice in his goddamn movie. Did you enjoy it the second time?
The second time he did his, like, actual singing voice, and I was like, okay, so he's done his bad singing, and now he's good singing, and now he's done all the singing. Checked it off a bit.
Checked it off.
Yeah. Do you think he asked for that, like, in...
I think he helped produce it, so he must have been like, yeah...
Well, his friend wrote it as well.
Yeah, Mike White.
So, I mean, yeah. Which is weird that he'd write a movie that ended up being similar. Did Mike White write...
With Jared Hayes.
Okay, they wrote
this one together.
Yeah. Okay. Because, And he wrote... But Mike White wrote School of Rock as well.
Yeah, and Jared Hayes wrote Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a...
Yeah. Because it's definitely... It definitely steps more into...
Napoleon Dynamite. I think... Yeah, I don't think it follows so much into School of Rock.
Yeah.
Although School of Rock makes sense that he sings all the time. Because he literally teaches music. Yeah. So I was like, well, I can forgive you thinking this movie because... It makes sense, and that's how this movie works. And then Luke hit me with a very good phrase that I've never heard, which is swear teasing.
Oh, yes, swear teasing. When, like, in any kid's movie where you can tell the hero or villain's about to swear, and then all of a sudden a noise comes over or someone interrupts him, and it's just like...
Or he says another word, like it's meant to rhyme, and then he said something else. And I was like...
Yeah, I was like, in the nature, I ate grass, and with my hands, I wiped my face, and it's like...
Yeah, so swear teasing. Which I think is, now that you think about, like a good staple of any children's comedy that's also meant for
even adult comedy. Like, think about that scene in Austin Powers where it's like,
bull.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you get that thing. I like that thing. And it is very common to sort of do in kids' movies because it's like...
It was very, very interesting. And then we get into the final match.
The main event. We finally made it.
So, Luke, tell us your thoughts first.
Alright, well, I have not gone to Mexico and wrestled, but I do believe the majority of the match was led in disqualification. So, Jack Black disqualified himself in the beginning. Then Emperor...
With doing what?
Oh, I'm trying to remember. What did he do? I just remember distinctly going, well, that's a disqualification.
Because they get out of the ring.
Yeah.
Which I think is a DQ.
No, you're led out of the ring, but I remember distinctly when... the Emperor grabbed the mask off, and I was like, well, that is just something you do not do.
Yeah.
I know very well if that a guy's got a mask on, you know.
You don't take that mask off.
You're not supposed to. No. Because that's hiding their identity. That's their tradition. You do that, that's a big, you know.
Big no. The pinfall.
There was no, pinfall on the outside of the ring. So it had to have been, you know, a street fight or a, you know, no disqualification, Mac. Anything goes. Pinfall anyway. But... No, I didn't.
No.
That's not how you win a match.
Fair enough. How was the wrestling in the match?
The wrestling was actually surprisingly good. I feel like throughout the movie, the wrestling slowly but inevitably improved as it went along.
Mm-hmm.
Except for that amazing, like, was it dive outside of the ring on the turnbuckle where he actually defied gravity and...
Yeah, he just kind of flew. And I was like, this is the greatest scene in the whole movie.
Up until that point, that match was actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, I was just like, well, okay.
But he just dives into like a pile of chairs, and it's like, I don't quite understand what is happening here.
That was definitely probably the throwback to the eagle egg, though, because he actually heard that, and then he just...
Yeah, and then he flew. So maybe the eagle did give him powers. No. So maybe magic beats religion, religion beats science. Yeah,
rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, in a circle. If you believe in two, you can win, but only if one, you lose. So, and also, I thought in that match, the two things that I had is, how is he so good at wrestling now?
All of a sudden. The eagle egg.
The eagle egg.
It finally kicked in, it was just really delayed.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a Nurofen. You gotta wait a little bit, and then it works.
Have a glass of water.
Yeah. And babe saved him.
The babe, yeah, because she walked in with the orphans, and then it was that, I am a religious man.
Which I thought, like, they used it three or four times.
Three times, I think.
And every time they used it, I was like, yeah, good reprise. This is a good bring it back. And the sister comes in, and she's like, she just stands there with the children and the fat kid in the mask. And he's like, oh, I can win now, I get it. And he just pushes the foot off him and twists it. And then Ramsey like starts to run away. And I'm like, wait a minute, you can bring this back.
No, but he's the good guy that's just gone bad guy in the middle of a match. He's like, no, I'm out of here.
Yeah, it was... I don't know. That was interesting for me. I think the last 5 minutes was probably the best 5 minutes in the whole film.
Yeah.
And it very much skewed my judgment at the time when I was watching, because I was like, that was great. But I think I just meant that last thing that I saw was excellent.
That, it was only the that match that was great. And I was like, then you remember the rest of the movie. It's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I think I did like the wrestling matches.
Mm.
But I don't know. I think other parts of the movie were quite either very forgettable or quite weak.
Yeah.
And then that brings us pretty much to the end of the movie, because he gets on the bus and they drive back to the orphanage, and it does the weird zoom-ins on him stepping off the bus, which felt very soap opera-ish. And then it kind of ended. And I was like, okay, I get it. I understand. He wins. He's now the good guy.
Like, they could have been leaving it a little vague and open for a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Because
there would be space. There'd be something to do.
But was it...
I don't know. What
sequel you would put? I don't know. You just kind of... Because he's now also the head of, like, he's the champion of the wrestling league. Right. And he also has to be a monk at the same time. And all the other monks hate him. And there are other wrestlers who want to take their title back. And it's balancing those two lives. That kind of
thing. Spider-Man 2.
It's Spider-Man 2. Pretty much, which is a great movie. Does anyone have any ways that they could fix this movie? We'll start with Luke.
Way more wrestling?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that movie did not have enough wrestling. I think I said it at the beginning of this, and I will say it again now. Needed more wrestling, and...
Where would you put the matches in? And what would be why?
I feel like they did a nice little, like, montage scene in the beginning, how they had, like, three matches back-to-back, and that was alright, but they just have... When there's character change, and when it's, instead of droning out about the comedy, the fart jokes, and, you know, the ridiculous, go find the eagle egg.
Yeah.
They could have just put in a nice match there. And just, like, shown a little bit more growth. Because, like you said, he just kind of got better.
Yeah, it just kind of magically... The eagle egg, which was then explicitly said in the movie, the eagle egg did not work. And it's like, alright, so that thing was useless. And then, I mean, you can assume it's like a Nurofen and it kicks in later, but I'm going to take the movie's word for it that the eagle egg was...
Did not work.
Bogus.
Yeah. It was the power of orphans and love.
Yeah, but he still kind of had that at the beginning, because he didn't really... I put character growth, but Brad's right, he didn't grow.
No. Yeah, he was just... He's, like, kind of just a decent guy throughout the whole film. It's not like...
He was doing the right thing at the beginning. And then it's like, I'll do the right thing. It's like, what are you talking about? You're already there. Like, you've nailed that. You got to move on to get better at wrestling, to do the right thing faster.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like there's no kind of real punishment for him wrestling. It's kind of just like...
He gets kicked out, but he didn't really seem to suffer that bad.
No, he's like, it's never like he's like, I'm having a horrible time because of this. It's like, I'm just doing my thing. Whereas, I don't know.
Maybe you can't go that dark, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose so. Nickelodeon Pictures.
It's probably not like, well, we can't have him be dead. Mm-hmm. So he can't die of like homelessness.
A few more scenes with this sister would have been probably alright, because like there's a point where I just forgot she existed in the movie.
Yeah.
And then she came back. I was like, oh yeah, you're like the only really good actor in this.
Yeah. Yeah, just like, oh yeah, that's right. He had a love interest. I totally
broke my thoughts. Which a movie doesn't need, per se. And a movie like that with a monk character doesn't really need. Because it's not like... It's not like a super earnest story about, like, I'm going to leave.
Because he wasn't... I mean, he wasn't very pious.
No.
So, I still kind of... I think he just kind of worked at the orphanage. Like, because he was like, yeah, all right, that's my lot. And he kind of took it.
Yeah.
But he wasn't very pious, unlike the other people. Yeah. Although that other monk was definitely hitting on the sister.
Yeah.
And I was like, so he's not very pious.
Yeah. None of the monks are very monk-like.
No, at all. Or priest-like at all. Yeah. I was like, I don't really think you're doing the job. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they understood what being a priest was about.
Yeah.
Any way that you'd improve the movie?
Again, like I said, I'd probably take it out of that. More, and it probably works for this movie fine, but it's like, take it in a more earnest direction.
So less comedy?
Possibly less comedy.
Or less like slapstick.
Less, comedy. Like, you know.
Two fart jokes is, I mean, it's not terrible.
No.
But it's still not great. I can think of great movies that don't have any fart jokes.
Like, could you imagine if this movie was, like, and I'm not trying to shit on the guy who made it, but it's like, could you imagine if this movie was made by Wes Anderson?
Yeah.
Like, That play, like, because he kind of, like, they're two very similar sort of styles, and you can see that, like, he's mm-hmm. sort of taken a lot of influence from
those kind of
movies.
And the colours and, like, the use of colours.
Yeah, but it's, like, I think Wes Anderson tells better stories about people.
Yeah.
And it's, like, this really should have been a movie about people.
Yeah, either more about wrestling,
where it's not,
or more about people.
Yeah, and it wasn't really... Like, it's kind of about Quirk, and it's about, like, quirky characters. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, you never really... You know, you kind of have fun moments with those characters, but...
And you only have, like, two quirky characters.
I mean, everybody's kind of quirky in that...
In their own. So it's like, but Ramsay's not very quirky.
No, but I think he's... I mean...
He's meant to be the main bad guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, like, Jack... Even, like, the other priest, Jack Black, the fat kid... Like, all these sort of characters are kind of, like, meant to be a little, like, just even the dialogue, which is kind of a little bit, like, deliberately stilted.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like awkward dialogue, but I feel like
that... But it's designed, but it's by design. I don't feel like it's, like, bad dialogue. I feel like it's meant to be, like, that sort of, like, the same way, like, Napoleon Dynamite is just full of, like, stilted... awkward dialogue.
Yeah.
By design.
Now...
And I just... Maybe it's just I can't get into that...
idea? I don't know. Maybe it's just maybe not for everyone.
Yeah.
Now, as three white men, do we think this movie was racist?
Oh.
I'm gonna say no.
Saying unintentionally racist doesn't sound right, but, like, it was... It used racial humor, but it wasn't, like, harmful?
No. And I think that the fact that, like, I know that Jack Black's white, but they kind of explained in the movie that he was...
Yeah, his mum was, like,
Swedish. And his dad was Mexican. And then they tried to convert each other.
And they ended up getting married.
Which and then they died, and then he takes a photo, which was another Jack Black moment.
That was a good joke, I like that,
And it was kind of like, okay, I get it why you're...
That scene when they're eating the toast, though, the sound design in that scene is...
very loud chewing.
Yeah, very loud chewing, and it's like... Oh man, I would have loved to have mixed that.
but everyone else in the movie was authentic luchadors.
Yeah.
Or
authentic Mexicans.
And I was like, you know what? Not bad, because I don't think you have that many famous names to work with.
Yeah.
Danny Trejo, but he was not in this movie, so.
Yeah. No, and yeah, it's. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see more luchador movies, because it's kind of like... And maybe, like, a more earnest luchador movie.
Yes.
This is just one of those weird movies that... Like, obviously, like I said, coming off the back of Napoleon Dynamite.
School of Rock, yeah. Everything, all these big movies.
But, like, Napoleon Dynamite sort of not necessarily on its own, but sort of was part of that, you know, Fox Searchlight sort of era of, like, you know, small indie films. And this is trying to be that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of not...
It kind of... It didn't suit the style. It didn't suit the subject.
I don't know if he's done anything on it, but I would love to see what Robert Rodriguez would do
with a Luchador
theme. Like, I would love to see that movie.
Anyone else got any final notes? Anything they really particularly hated? Or particularly liked? Nothing? Nothing you can think of? You feel like you've got something there, Luke, but...
I'm just trying to think, like... It tended to drag on a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And I was like, I don't know how they're going to wrap this movie up so quickly, because it feels like they've wasted time here.
Yeah, it's only 90 minutes or something.
Yeah, it's almost... I think it's, like, just under. And it still felt long.
Yeah.
Like, a movie like Moneyball, which was 2 hours, feels quicker to me than this movie, which was... I don't know. It did have that drag-on feeling. I'm going to just check through my notes out of anything else that I wanted to talk about.
I wouldn't, like, you got Nickelodeon pictures at the top there. Yeah. And it's like, I thought it was quite interesting.
Yeah, interesting choice for them.
Yeah.
I did really like the opening. I thought the opening was very strong.
Yeah.
Not the best opening I've ever seen, but I thought
it was nice, though.
It was nice, and I was like, if it holds this style up. I didn't like that Jack Black played Jack Black, but I just don't like it when actors play themselves, so.
Yeah.
I think the only time Jack Black hasn't played Jack Black was King Kong.
I can't think of anything else Jack Black's in. At the moment.
Kung Fu Panda.
He played Jack Black.
That's Jack Black.
Yeah.
That was just Jack Black, but he didn't have to be on camera, so he was very happy.
Yeah.
I'm
just trying to think what else
Anything else that he plays that dramatically... There's no, like, punch Punch Drunk Love for Jack Black yet. Which is...
There might be. He might be in, like, a smaller indie movie. Because he tends to do... Like, it's not like it's like, the Avengers featuring Jack Black. It's not like he's, like...
Could you imagine that, though?
Yeah.
That would be great.
He doesn't play...
I actually don't know why he hasn't been pinned for, like, one of those roles.
No, it's not he's pinned to play a superhero.
Mm.
He plays
Jack
Black. And it's, like, now featuring, like, stand-up comedy on the heli character. It's Jack Black! And he's like, hey, thanks. I see Thor's here. And, like, he just in it.
Yeah.
It just is a cameo, and then he just dies on the helicarrier.
Even greater is like the whole battle scene's coming up, and then Tenacious D just come out and start playing a song.
Yeah, it's like reunion tour, and it's like this is the worst time for it.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange could have used him in the battle with Dormammu.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like
we're stuck in fucking eternity,
just
playing rock and roll.
Just thinking about it, but if you're gonna like. The Ghostbusters reboot,
mm-hmm.
they used, I think, Black Sabbath's in that movie?
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
I think, I can't remember, but there's like a scene where they go, like, they're performing.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be Black Sabbath, but I want to say that it is.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a good time to crack out Jack Black.
Yep.
For your movie, you know what I mean?
Especially in like a comedy like that.
Yeah.
I did really like the colours.
The
style of the movie.
Yeah.
But... I think it kind of fell down in a lot of other areas. Do we want to give our final ratings? We ready? It's out of 10.
Out of 10.
And I'm going to not allow half marks because then we get very, very... And if, just for those who this is the first time listening, if we all say 5, this movie gets crowned like a very mediocre movie as long as the other people who kind of do this podcast semi-regularly also give it a 5.
Yeah.
And then I guess
so it has to get like an initial approval.
Yeah, it's like the test. And if we all give it 5, then
yeah,
it's good. But Brad, what do you give it?
I'm going to give it a 4.
Yep.
I'll give it a 3 and an open challenge to Jack Black to fight me in a ring.
That's fair. That's fair.
That's, yeah.
As Nucha Libre. Like, the only parts that I was really like, it's not just because of the whole I'm a wrestler, I love wrestling, it's like, the wrestling scenes were the really good parts,
mm-hmm.
and there wasn't enough times for me to laugh at the outside points to really give it a good mark.
Alright, fair enough. Yeah, I'll give it about a 4. There was some jokes, and I really liked the reprise of the music, the design, the sounds, the colours.
Yeah.
I was a big fan, but I just think it kind of fell apart on, like, some jokes and, like, pushing the story and with characters.
Yeah.
I feel it wasn't
just
quite...
weird, like, plotting, which I get for... what this movie was trying to be.
Yeah.
It's more pushing for the next joke rather than pushing the story along.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, I can definitely feel that. Like, the bit where he confronts Ramsay, he's going to get pushed into the cart, and then it, like, kind of just goes nowhere, that whole scene. And
yeah.
I was like, I don't know, like, why this whole scene is here now, or, like, when he gets the eagle, and I'm like, I don't understand where this was going or what the point was.
I think, like, you know, it could possibly be that it was just trying to be... like anticlimactic,
yeah.
In a way, like,
or like get fit quick,
yeah.
Like, you know, one of those schemes, and that's what they're trying to do. But
yeah.
I kind of think it missed that vibe altogether because he didn't seem like a bad guy who wanted to take shortcuts.
Yeah,
he just seemed like a guy who wanted to wrestle.
Yeah,
so it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Any more comments before we finish this up?
I think that just about wraps it up. I would like to see like more luchador movies.
A very earnest luchador movie.
Yeah.
Any final comments?
I would love a serious luchador movie.
Mm. Yeah, well, I think that might be I just like movies, so
yeah.
I'm happy to watch many things.
Yeah.
Although, this is becoming a tiresome podcast of watching very okay movies and then trying to
not like
die.
Hard to watch a good movie now.
Yeah, watched The Big Short. So relieving to watch something that's actually very, very good. Alrighty, I'm Riley.
I'm Brad.
I'm Luke.
You've been listening to Mediocre Movies. See you next time.